read a story this week of a San Francisco pastor. Looked out and saw the nativity set and Jesus was gone. And he went out there to the street and here come a boy in a red wagon with Jesus in it. And he says, "Son, where'd you get the little baby Jesus there?" He goes, "Oh, out of the nativity set." He says, "Why do you have my baby Jesus?" He says, "Well, last week I promised him right here if he'd give me a red wagon, I'd give him a ride around the block." True story. He did it. Isn't that great? I also heard about a family asked their dad, what would he like for Christmas? And the dad said this, that he would like something that the whole family could get something out of all year long. So their kids bought him a wallet. Isn't that great? Everybody's laughing but you dads on that one. Well, all over the world the last few weeks, we've been having so many pageants and plays. You think of that all over the world on Christmas. Many foreign countries will meet tomorrow to see the entire thing go out. Pakistan, that's how they do it. India. And we see these scenes of Christmas. They'll be precious. It was very precious last week to see Aliyah with baby Jesus and Junior with his hand around with Joseph. It's just so sweet. You get a picture of that, you know. Those are sweet things. We'll see so many very precious moments of Mary holding baby Jesus and Joseph standing stately nearby. And there'll be no room in the inn. And they'll have to scuttle around and finally find this place, a stable, to have this baby, and proud parents will look on with their iPhones, clicking pictures, as they're so proud to see their children do this. But what do you not see is what's happening backstage in any event like that. There's actually more going on backstage than what's going on front and center. I was one of the rare times, a bodyguard for Louis Palau. I don't know if you know who he is. He's a major worldwide evangelist, like the Billy Graham of the definitely South America. And a very genuine Christian man. I got to be very close to him, obviously, being his bodyguard for 2 days. He called the police department up. They were getting death threats in Reno, Nevada, for Louis Palau. And so he asked for some Christian armed individuals. And they picked two of us, me and Jack Munns, and we were down there. And we were backstage of a very huge event. And all these groups you'd know, you know, and Mookie, you know Skillet, don't you? Yeah, probably not. And I'm sure Brother Fletcher knows Toby Mac and all those guys. And it was amazing what was going on backstage, how much hustle and bustle for just one person on stage. And as I was reading through the scriptures this week on the historical Christmas events, I looked at, wow, how much stuff's going on backstage. And we look at this nativity set of Joseph and Mary and baby Jesus and then some shepherds and some wise men, and you think it's so simple and simplistic and probably incredibly difficult to get your head around at the time. You know, Mary was giving some promises from an angel. She's now expecting, being a virgin was probably weird enough, and then to be dragged out of home 90 miles away to Bethlehem and can't find any place to have a baby. You know, God's in charge of all this. And you're sitting on some hay in heavy labor going, really? Is this how it's supposed to go? I mean, I can't imagine her going, this is perfect. I can't. I don't think my wife would go, this is great, Mark. We're having Joel in a barn. Away from home, by ourselves, I would be panic-stricken. And so you know that these things are playing out. And in their heart, and don't you know, she must have wondered if the plan was working out at all that God wanted it. It seemed so random and disorder. That is how the visible stage was going. But what we know now is that backstage things were happening just exactly like God wanted them. Boy, at the end of this sermon, I hope to get to, that's your and my life. It seems so random and so in disorder. But if you have Jesus, you have everything. Let's read this. We're going to read Luke 2, 1 through 20. Would you stand with me? And try not to pass over too much. We've read this so many times in our life. Be careful of that. This is the Word of God. Now, in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. That is because he had all of the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David. And so was Mary. In order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and with child. And while they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And in the same region, there was some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there was born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." And when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. And when they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for stepping out of glory into humanity at this place and this time. And Lord, we just want to celebrate that today. And Lord, thank you for showing us that in this simple, simple historical event, backstage, there was a lot going on. May you open our eyes to that. And what's going on in our life, that things have not changed. Lord, would you open our hearts and our eyes? In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. How many times we have read this event and we see the beauty of it. As I've said, the simplicity of it. And we marvel at how God chose to reveal himself in the flesh like this. But I'd like to remind you that Christmas Eve, on this Christmas Eve, there were some amazing things going on backstage on Christmas Eve. Let's just look at some, and maybe look at them in chronological order, because we can see a lot of things happening, let alone John the Baptist coming. We know that John the Baptist would pronounce to Elizabeth while in the womb that Jesus had already come and was in the womb of Mary. An amazing event. We already know that there's an old man waiting at the temple going, "When? I've been promised in the last probably decade that I would not see death until I saw the Messiah." We see some things backstage that no one knows of. Probably chronologically, when the Holy Spirit told Mary, "By the way, you're going to be with child, and the Holy Spirit will overshadow you, and you'll be with child." That's probably when the star appeared. Adrian Rogers, the great preacher, believes it was not a star. He believes it was the Holy Spirit shining. Some saw it, some didn't. Makes sense. But we see a star, and magi, stargazers from over 600 miles away in the outer realms of habitation of the world at that time in Persia, looked to the west and saw an incredible event of a star like none other. It moved. It probably moved with Mary. It was following Jesus. And they looked through the scriptures and apparently were, by the power of the Holy Spirit, told Messiah's star. And so they took off months before Mary and Joseph went to Bethlehem. We see this. They come from hundreds of miles away to see this great event. Now, we have Mary and Joseph finding themselves in Bethlehem. Quirinius was a governor. He was governor twice. And the Jews refused to do a census. There's a whole lot of things to do before you do a census in the Jewish world. And the Romans didn't believe in that, so they refused. And finally, on the second event, Quirinius says, "You'll do it, or we're going to come do it for you, and we'll be counting bodies." And so it happened like that. And all of a sudden, we have Joseph and Mary, very big with child, in Bethlehem. Well, what we know now backstage, we have the right people at the right time, at the right location, for everything to go perfect. You say, what do you mean, Pastor Mark, the right people? They were the right people. They were both of the lineage of the house of David. Joseph's lineage had one king in it that said, "You're cursed. No king will come from you." But on Mary's side, there was no curse. Came straight down, right to her family line, and she was the blood relative of the man of the God-man. We have the right exact people. We're at the right time. The fullness of time, as Pastor Jared preached today, right here. We have a time in the world that is like none ever, and we've never had it since. We had world peace. Now, it was forced, but we were all in world peace. It was all over one government. Caesar Augustus had full control of the entire inhabited earth. I think I told you this a few weeks ago. They did a study on the richest people in all the world ever to live. He scored number one. He owned the world. For what would it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? Which we know Caesar Augusta considered himself God. And at the time that Jesus came to earth, you could go to Caesarea and see a plaque. And it says, "Caesar Augustus, the Savior of the world." We found it. No one hardly knows who he is. Everybody knows who Jesus is. And so we have the right people at the right time. The right time because we had world peace. We had one language, the Greek language, which this Bible in the New Testament is written out of, which is wonderful because it's the most descriptive language there is. There couldn't have been a better language to write the Bible. Well, there's one other one that's really good, Hebrew. That's very descriptive, which is all of the Old Testament. And so, and everybody speaks it. One of the greatest barriers in evangelism today is language. Didn't have it. Thirdly, travel. No visas required when one nation runs the whole place. In fact, when you go to Israel, some of you are going to Israel with me here just in February, you'll see a pillar about that tall. It'll look like that big pillar in D.C., but it's small. And it comes up to a point, and on one side it has miles to Rome. You're standing on the Roman road. The Roman roads went everywhere. And Christ is coming at world peace, the same language, and roads to take the message of Christ everywhere. This will never happen again. In 71 AD, Titus will sack Jerusalem and the whole world will change. And Jesus will have left a bunch of disciples in the thousands to follow Christ. They were indeed backstage. God was doing the right people in the right time at the right place, because it was prophesied, "Well, Bethlehem, you're going to bring the king in here. Though you seem you're little, but this is where King David is born, and this is where the King of Kings is going to be born." All backstage. Lastly, we see our first look backstage on the night of the Lord's opens the curtains a little bit. The night the Lord Jesus is born, he sends an angel to some shepherds. Why the shepherds? Well, I think, first of all, the most obvious thing is they were close. They were close to Bethlehem. I think also it sounds like Jesus was what Mrs. Mulkey would say. He went to the poorest. He went to those that were up that night watching a bunch of sheep. Jesus will use this illustration the rest of his life, for he's the good shepherd. And he sends an angel to a bunch of shepherds. And it's at night, and this angel appears, and it says the glory of the Lord shone around them. No shadows. It was a light that had something in it, and it's called the glory of the Lord. And they were terrified. I would be too. And they had to be told, "Fear not, for I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David has been born for you a Savior." And then a large host of angels began to sing, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men whom he has favor." An amazing sight when I think about, you know, I do these little things. Lord, if I could go back to one event in history, what would it be? This is one of them. Maybe the number one one. That day, you would get to see angels. You get to hear the choir sing, and you get to go see baby Jesus. Not a bad day in history. Whew. Another one would be Joseph of Arimathea. Well, I'm sorry. The two that walk with Jesus going to the road of Emmaus. That would be one. I don't think the crucifixion I could handle. That'd be too much history for me. The other one's Lewis and Clark expedition. That's different, though. That'd be like down there in about number four. But this would be an incredible moment. What a scene it is to see the visible forces of God pull back and see backstage of what's going on. This happens to them. Now, I believe that day, angels had a total different view of humanity. They saw the God of heaven and earth step out from his throne and step into a little stable, into a little baby. And they saw that, and with jaws open, that their Lord would love us so much, us creatures, our wretched sinners, so much that he'd come and be one of us. They just couldn't believe the love of God. And they just burst out and said, "Glory to God the highest. This is the greatest glory we've ever seen." Not creation, but Jesus coming for me and for you. This was incredible. We became something else. I believe right now that the angels believe those creatures, those humans on this earth that know Jesus, are the most blessed of all creation. Don't you know angels stand around and go, you most favored bunch, you most blessed, rich of the Lord people. Do you know what's awaiting you? This is a Christmas story. This is backstage. Well, there's another story backstage. There's two forces at work, we find out backstage. That there's a force that is ushering in, and the decrees of God are right on time. Boom. But there's another force that is evil, that has a whole nother diabolical plan. If we turn to Revelations, the 12th chapter, I'll read it to you. You can listen to it. You can go to it, but listen to this. A great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. It means the 12 tribes of Israel. The moon was all of Israel's feasts. This is a picture of Israel. And she was with child, and she cried out, being in labor, that Israel wept and waited for the Messiah. And then another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his head were 7 diadems, probably the 7 civilizations that had passed and the 10 to come. And his tail swept away a third of the stars of heaven, those were angels, and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she gave birth, he might devour her child. And she gave birth to a son, a male child, who was to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God and to his throne. And then the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared by God, so that there she would be nourished for 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven, Michael and his angels waging war with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels waged war, and they were not strong enough, and there was no longer a place found for them in heaven, and the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who was called the devil and Satan, who deceived the whole world. He was thrown into the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down. He who accuses them before our God day and night. And they overcame him. These are the angels. Because of the blood of the Lamb. And because of the word of their testimony, they did not love their life even when faced with death. For this reason, rejoice, O heavens, you who dwell in them. Woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, knowing that he has only a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was thrown down to earth, he persecuted the woman, that's Israel, who gave birth to the male child. And boy, have they been persecuted, because Christ came from them. But the 2 wings of the great eagle were given to the woman, so that she could fly into the wilderness to her place, where she was nourished for a time and a time and a half a time for the presence of the serpent. And the serpent poured water like a river out of his mouth after the woman, so that he might cause her to be swept away with the flood. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and drank up the river which the dragon poured out of his mouth. I believe that was Rachel weeping for his children. So the dragon was enraged with the woman and went off to make war with the rest of her children, who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus. Wow. That's quite the Christmas story backstage. There's some things going on you and I don't know. It's just a stable. But we see here a diabolical person, the devil himself, placing someone in power in Judea named Herod the Great. Herod is in place. He is an antichrist from the lineage of the Edomites, which was Haman. You know, Haman was an Esther who wanted to eradicate the Jews. He's a relative of him. And Haman, remember, made the gallows for Mordecai, and he got hung on him. This is the same Antichrist. Haman comes back here as Herod the Great, who attempts to kill the Jews the time of Esther the queen. And Herod is a paranoid egomaniac. He kills his own sons. He kills his own wife because they kind of look sideways at the throne. He is in power by the devil, and he keeps his position as king this way. And yet when the Magi reached Jerusalem and announced why they were there, the Son of God has already touched down, and the devil didn't even know it. And when the Magi leave another way from Bethlehem, this enrages Herod, and he attempts to kill the children with the Christ child by an ordering a slaughter of all the male children in the city of Bethlehem and its environs. This is a messed up dude. But he is controlled by the devil. In fact, in 6 AD, he would sit on his throne and be eaten by worms from the inside out. Josephus says when you talk to him, you could smell the decomp coming from his body. But God had already warned Joseph of this plot, and he and Mary and baby Jesus backstage had already left for Egypt. And the gold and the frankincense and the myrrh the Magi had given them paved the way for them to leave. But a terrible weeping was heard. Rachel, a flood came and the earth took it. A bunch of little babies died. Rachel weeping for her children, and she would not be comforted because they were no more. And Satan's angry backstage because of what God has done. He has come, died on the cross, ascended to the Father, and kicked the devil out of heaven and his angels, and he's here. Now that's what I believe. I don't know how you interpret that any other way. And he's here, and we have some things to think about here on this Christmas Eve as we look backstage. Let me ask you a few questions, church. There's two forces we see backstage of the Christmas story. We see an evil force, and we see a kingdom of God force. Do you know today they're still the same? And so my first question, as we close this sermon up, I want to ask you, church, on this Christmas Eve, on what side are you? Are you with the world, the flesh, and the devil? I'm telling you, Christmas brings it right out of you. You'll either be angry and wishing this whole thing gets over with, and let's go. I've spent too much money on all this, and I'm just a grouch because I'm caught up in the world, the flesh, and the devil. Or you're ready to worship the Lord. And it's a glorious time. I'm not saying you're not stressed out, but you're ready to worship the Lord. And you want the kingdom of God to come. Do you know that all of us started over here? And at some day, maybe even a day like this, at church, we switched. And we said, we're done with this world, the flesh, and the devil. And I'm coming to Christ. I want to offer that to you today. That we have to choose Christ. Also, something I think you should really know here is that trust and obey God's leading in your life, no matter the situation. Hey, the unsung hero of the Nativity is Joseph. You know, no one else will get so much guidance and so much word from God in all of the Christmas story than Joseph. He will hear three times from God, and he will obey every time. He will hear and say, you need to marry her, Joseph. I have a great honor for you. You're going to be the guardian of my child. Will you take this? And he said, yes. I don't know how hard it is to be the dad of the most perfect kid in the world, but I bet it's tough. And he said, now go to Bethlehem. And he hears from this angel all the time, from the Lord himself. And then he says, go to Egypt. And then he says, come back. And he said, I'm not going back. Herod's relative's there. He's a nutcake just as big as Herod because the devil's putting him in place. And he went to Nazareth because the prophet says he'll be called a Nazarene. All this is backstage. Hey, I want to ask you, is your Christmas working out? If it's not, it's probably in the area of obedience. Are you trusting Christ? Are you obeying? Hey, I don't know what your situation is. I don't know how broke you are. I don't know how much your relations are messed up. If you want to talk about messed up relations, leave Bethlehem with a pregnant girl in the first century. They were probably ready to get out of there. There's a lot of talk going on. It seemed like your life's just not going well. I want you to know behind the scenes it might be going just like God wants it to. And lastly, if Christ is for you, who can be against you? Do you see this? The decrees of God were not frustrated by even the devil, who had a bunch of angels to fight with him, and they couldn't work this out. Though they tried. In fact, the devil thought he won when he got him crucified. I won! Uh-oh. He just bled for the whole world. And he just kicked me out of heaven. No more going before God, the accuser of the brethren anymore. And he's here now. Lastly, I want to leave you with this conclusion. I believe that if you choose Christ and you live for him and you trust and obey him as Joseph did, he's going to honor you. And like Mary, you're going to get a glimpse backstage every once in a while to what God's doing. Don't you think Mary is sitting there in a pile of hay with a baby going, man, we're broke and we're a long ways from home and we're in a barn, and a bunch of shepherds walk up and says, you wouldn't believe what I just heard. We saw angels and they said this baby's the Messiah. Don't you know she went, oh, praise God, right where we're supposed to be. Don't you ever hear that? I believe you'll hear glimpses of this. Let me give you an illustration in my own, my wife's family. Her oldest brother, David. I never got to meet him. Handsome. He could play almost a dozen instruments. He was a song leader. He was dynamic. And he left the Lord. He went on and lived his own life. Made my mother and father's life miserable. And he was living such a terrible life that the family got together and says, how do we want to pray for David? And the family agreed, whatever it takes to bring David back to Christ, we're going to pray it. Now, when you get to a family and you pray that prayer, get ready. Because 6 months later, there was a knock on the door, and that was David, and he was there dying of AIDS. Here you are, a pastor in a small town in Texas, and your son's dying of AIDS. That's some pretty heavy pressure on the whole family. David would repent and would walk around the house shuffling, asking his parents for forgiveness, getting right with God. Got months of that to do that. David would die in 1989 in Las Vegas, Nevada, while my brother in law John read Pilgrim's Progress. He would go see the Lord. But my father-in-law and my mother-in-law wondered, was he ever a Christian? Wonder. Well, David used to sing with an elderly lady named Mary Williams in Athens. And when David died, Mary Williams was in an old folks' home dying on... She was close to death, and they thought that if they told her she would die that day, she loved David so much. He would always come to church, and she'd want to sing with him. They sang all the time together. And as the ladies gathered around Mary Williams 6 months after my brother-in-law died, and they watched Mary Williams pass away, as she drifted, she went, eyes open, and went, David? David? What are you doing here? And God opened backstage for just a moment. Don't you know how wonderful it was for my father-in-law and my mother-in-law to hear those words? You know what the last words were, Mary Williams? It was David. Church, if I went around this place, you could tell me times you've seen backstage. And it was always because God was near. I want to ask you today, do you know Jesus? Are you on his side? Do you want to be a part of the greatest story of all times, the redemption of Jesus Christ, here on this Christmas Eve?